Now, the subject of our study today is the mother of Moses. We're not informed of her name in this chapter. We read in chapter 6 and verse 20 that her name was Jochebed. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. There you have the names of the father and mother of Moses. Amram, his father, and Jochebed, his mother. It's a very interesting name. Jochebed, it means literally in the Hebrew, Jehovah her honor, or Jehovah her glory. And that would indicate that her parents were trusting in the Lord and seeking to live for the glory of the Lord, and desired that their daughter would find the Lord to be her glory and her honor. Now, there's very little given to us by way of information and detail concerning this woman, but it is evident from the study of Scripture that this woman had a very significant influence upon the shaping and the molding of the man who would become the leader and the deliverer of the Israelites from Egypt. She did not have a long time to influence her son, but the time that she had was spent very well, and it had a very clear, a very definite influence for good and for God upon Moses. Now, there's not much by way of quantity of information, but what information is given is full of quality. But when you come to the life of Jochebed, you will discover here the necessity of reading the entire Scripture. Because although this is really the main passage that she's referred to in, there are other places where we find reference made. And you get the whole story when you put together those verses. For instance, if you turn to Acts chapter 7, in the days of the New Testament church, we find Stephen on this occasion answering the members of the Jewish council. He rehearses the history of Israel in order to show that Jesus is and was the Messiah. And he relates to this event in the life of Moses, and in the verse 20, we'll read verse 19, we find there of Acts chapter 7, the same, that is, the Pharaoh, the king, the same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live, in which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Now you'll notice there's no reference there to Jochebed. Instead, it is the father's house. It is his father that is mentioned, although the nourishing there would indicate the action on the part of Jochebed. Now that's very interesting, because whenever you read Exodus chapter 2, there's no mention of Moses' father. It is his mother that is looking after him. When she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And then she placed him in the ark of bulrushes. And the emphasis there is on the mother. But when you come to Acts 7, you see that the father is mentioned. But that's not the end of it. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, there is a further revelation or spotlight placed on this episode. Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith, the heroes of faith, and the verse 23. We are told that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The faith that is referred to here is the faith of his parents. And here you find both of them brought together. Both the father and the mother acted together in hiding Moses, in not complying with this evil command of Pharaoh. They acted together and they hid Moses because they saw he was a proper child. So in Exodus, the spotlight is on the mother. In Acts, the spotlight is on the father. But here, they are brought together. And the reference is to the parents. And they're acting in unison, they're acting in harmony. When they saw he was a proper child, they hid him and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So, you see the whole picture here. Whenever you read through the scripture and discover the way in which it is revealed in the Word of God. But we're looking primarily at Jochebed, and in particular her faith. It is her faith that is mentioned. And we don't see that primarily in Exodus chapter 2. It's only when we come to Hebrews 11 that we find the New Testament commentary upon this action and this attempt to hide Moses from the command of the king. And we find that Paul describes this as an action of faith. This is her faith. So this is a woman of faith, and when we look at her, there's much for us to learn. I think we see in the first place the perplexity that her faith encountered. They lived in difficult times, dangerous times. Joseph had died. You remember when Joseph was the prime minister in Egypt, that the family of Jacob was catered for, protected, preserved. But after Joseph died, there arose another Pharaoh, another king who didn't know Joseph. And as a result, we find persecution coming against the Israelites. And this new Pharaoh passes a law that the male children are to be slaughtered, they're to be killed, in order that the nation of Israel would be eliminated, that it would be reduced to nothing. He's acting out of envy. They're afraid of the Israelites. They're envious of them. And so he passes this law that they be killed. So this is a dangerous time. This is a time of great difficulty. And it reminds us, I think, right away, it reminds us that faith and trust in God and allegiance to the Lord will often encounter hard times. It will often encounter the difficult times. It is a mercy when we are not suppressed by wicked laws. And when we're allowed to exercise our faith without restraint or without suppression or oppression. That is a mercy that we should be continually thankful to God for. But here was a time when the very nation was under threat. And remember, the name Israel contained within it the name of God. And this was an attack not only upon the nation of Israel, but an attack upon God himself. And the establishment of the religion and the truth of God in the world, in the earth. And so we find now the parents of Moses facing this great test. This law has been passed that every male child is to be killed and drowned in the River Nile. And now they have a child. What are they going to do? Well, we find their faith was tested, but it was triumphant. They firmly rested upon the Word of God because faith is always connected with God's Word. By faith, they hid Moses. By faith. Well, what did they believe in? What did they believe in? They believed in the word that God had spoken, the promise that God had given. If you turn to Exodus chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. The Lord had given this instruction to Abraham many years beforehand. Verse 13 of Genesis chapter 15. The Lord said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now the Lord had spoken to Abraham, and he told him that his descendants were going to go down into Egypt, into a land that was not theirs, and there they would become servants, and they would be afflicted, they would be persecuted. But God promised that he would bring them out again, that God would deliver them from that affliction. Now when we're told here that Jochebed and her husband hid Moses by faith, that faith was resting upon the promise of God's word, upon the word that God had spoken to Abraham. Look at chapter 46 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 46 and verse 3. This is the time when Jacob is about to go into Egypt to meet Joseph. And verse 3, he said, The Lord said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. The promise is they would go into Egypt, and God would make of them a great nation. They would multiply. Now Pharaoh wants to wipe them out, destroy them, cut them off completely, but God has said otherwise. This is the promise of God, that God will multiply them, and God will bring them out. So the promise had been given to Abraham and now to Jacob. And we find in the last chapter of Genesis, Genesis 50, verse 24, that Joseph reiterates this hope, the hope that the promise of God had stirred within his heart. Verse 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So when you take all these promises together, and you look at this incident in the life of Jochebed and her husband, and how they hid Moses at this difficult and dangerous time, they did so because they were believing in the word of God. They were trusting the word of God. The Lord had promised that he would deliver his people. I think that their faith was not only focused on those promises that God had given, but I believe that the Lord had also given them faith in reference to the child that was born. We're told in Exodus that he was a goodly child. And then in Acts chapter 7, Stephen refers to Moses as being exceeding fair. And that phrase there, the literal sense of it means that he was beautiful to God. That's the literal sense in which Stephen spoke, that this child was beautiful to God. And then in Hebrews 11 he's referred to as a proper child. Now the thought there is that whenever Moses was born, the Lord impressed upon the hearts of his parents that there was something different about this child. That he was exceeding fair, he was beautiful to God. And the thought is that they recognized, the Lord had impressed upon their hearts that this was the child that would deliver the Israelites from Egypt. And therefore they sought to hide him. at this particular time. They saw this. And they had faith to believe. Remember, God said to Abraham that the time would be 400 years. Well, it was getting near to that time. And they were convinced that the deliverer would soon appear. And I believe the Lord showed them, revealed to them, that Moses was that child, that Moses would be the deliverer. And they trusted. They believed the Lord. They trusted his word. Faith will often encounter perplexity and difficulty. But then notice, secondly, the timidity that faith expels. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11 that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now that commandment was that every male child would be killed, cast into the water and drowned. This was the commandment of the king. But such was the nature and the strength of their faith that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And that would indicate that they were not afraid of the consequences of not obeying the king's commandment. It's never right to obey a law that would contradict the moral law of God. And so they were obeying the Lord first and foremost. This was an illegitimate law. It was an ungodly law. It was a law contrary to God, contrary to his truth, contrary to his will. And so they did not submit to it. And in doing that, they knew they would incur the wrath of the king if they were discovered, if they were found out. But they were not afraid. They were not afraid. Faith expels timidity. Faith brings courage. Faith brings fearlessness. The psalmist said in the psalm number 56, whenever he was faced with fearful experiences, at what time he would be afraid, he would trust in the Lord. Psalm 56 verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And so he's trusting the Lord, and as he trusts the Lord, that trust, that faith expels fear. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And that's what Jochebed and Amram said. We will not fear. We will not comply with this command of the king to kill our son. We believe that he is a goodly child. He's fair to God. He's beautiful to God. That he is one appointed to be the deliverer. And we will hide him. We will hide him in faith. And we will not be afraid of what the consequences of the king's commandment are. And faith will always expel that timidity. Faith makes a man, makes a woman courageous to do great exploits for God. But then notice thirdly, the activity that faith exercises. You see, not only did they have faith in God's word, but they had a faith that was active. They didn't just sit back and say, well, God has promised a deliverer. God has promised to bring his people up out of Egypt. God has promised that he will deliver us from the affliction. And then they just sat back and did nothing. No, we're told in Hebrews 11 verse 23 that when he was born, by faith he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Their faith was active. Here was an active faith. Not a passive faith, but an active faith. Because faith never excludes human responsibility. Never excludes human responsibility or human instrumentality. They had to hide Moses. They couldn't have just taken Moses out with them. And I don't know if they had prams in those days, but whatever they might have used, they couldn't have taken them out into the streets or into the town or the marketplace. To do so would have been folly. The king's command had decreed that every child be slain, be killed. And therefore they had to act in this way. They had to protect, they had to hide them, they had to keep them out of sight, they had to make sure that nobody saw them. Otherwise, he would have been taken and killed by the soldiers of Pharaoh. They had to act. And by faith, they hid him 3 months. And by faith, whenever it became impossible to hide Moses any longer, when it became increasingly difficult to hide him, they made an ark of bulrushes and they hid him. They placed him in the flags of the riverside in the hope that he would be found. And I think they did that in order that he might be found by Pharaoh's daughter, for they knew that she would frequent that place. Here they are, they're acting. They're acting in this way. Here is activity. Faith never sits back and says, well, if God means it to be, then it'll be. That is not the nature of true faith. Faith always acts upon what God has said. It does not exclude human responsibility or human instrumentality. You remember what James said in his epistle? In chapter 2 and the verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith is active. We're justified by faith alone in Christ, but our faith is justified by our works. A faith that is without works is dead. It's empty. It's meaningless. But faith is justified. Faith is evidenced by its activity, by its work. That's what James is saying here, and we see that very clearly in the illustration of Jochebed and her husband. They believed God, they trusted in his word, but they did not neglect their responsibility. They had to hide Moses, they had to tend to him, and then they sought to put him in a place of safety, hoping that he would be found by Pharaoh's daughter. And all the time they were trusting in the Lord to overrule. And that is the case in the work of God. If we want to see the work of God advance, we've got to trust the Lord. But it doesn't mean to say we sit back then and do nothing. We've got to go and witness. We've got to evangelize. We've got to pray. We've many things to do. Faith is a working faith. It is an active faith. Faith without works is dead. And here we find this activity that they engaged in. But then notice finally the impossibility that faith experiences. God honored their faith. God honored them. And he honored their faith with a marvelous intervention. Really, an intervention that would have seemed in so many ways to have been impossible. Look at this chapter in Exodus 2. We find that, or we discover here that Moses was found by none other than the king's daughter. Verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Found by Pharaoh's daughter. The king's daughter, the very man who had issued this decree, and yet it's his daughter that is finding the ark with Moses in it. Not only did she find it, but the Lord filled her heart with compassion. In verse 6, when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. She had compassion. Now, there wasn't any compassion in the heart of her father. He wanted all the children killed. And yet here, in Pharaoh's household, Pharaoh's daughter is moved with compassion in relation to the son of Jochebed. Then look at verse 7. Whenever she said, this is one of the Hebrews' children, she said, then said his sister, Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Who would have thought that would have happened? That Moses would be given back to his mother, that she would nourish him, and that she would wean him, and that she would bring him up until the time was ready for him to go into the palace. Who would have thought that? And not only was he given to his mother, but Pharaoh's daughter said unto her in verse 9, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. So Pharaoh's daughter is actually paying Jochebed to bring up, to nurture and nourish her own child. Who would have thought of that? But you see, the Lord honors faith. And the Lord, when he sees faith, when he sees faith acting according to his word, resting in his promise, when he sees that faith, God honors it. And God honors it in a way that we would think impossible. We would never even have imagined. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Those things that we wouldn't even ask God for, those things that we wouldn't even think in our own mind, when God sees faith, God responds to that faith in a way that is above and beyond our thinking or even our asking. Faith experiences the impossible. Faith, mighty faith, the promise seeds. It laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. It shall be done. And God answers, God honors faith in a way that is impossible to our own thinking and to our own imagination. And God does the exceeding abundant. And if we will only but trust him and rest upon his word and act by faith, then we will see the Lord intervening in many wonderful ways that we would never even have imagined could have been. Because God alone is the one who does the impossible. With God, all things are possible. So when we study Jochebed, when we look at her life, whilst there's not much given in the scripture by way of information, yet what shines forth brightly is her faith. And that faith is a pattern for every believer to follow after, to seek for, and to nourish and cherish by prayer and by the study of the Word of God. Let's bow together in prayer. And